This morning, please take your Bible and open to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John in chapter 14. We're going to read verses 16, 17, and 18 this morning. John 14, verses 16, 17, and 18. And the Bible says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Those are the readings for our text this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to be together and to sing these hymns and now to look into your word. We will look at several verses today, so I pray that you help us all to be able to keep up and follow along and be blessed, hopefully, by the reading of God's word and the discussion and the preaching and teaching of God's word. I pray that you'll bless your word to our hearts today, and thank you so very much for all that you do for us. And for this very special person that we will talk about, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm reading in John chapter 14, and I'm noticing that the vast majority of this chapter is in red letters. I have in front of me a red letter edition of the Word of God, and if you're not familiar with what that means, it means that these words that are written in red were spoken by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has been talking with his disciples in this area of the Gospel of John about the fact that he's going to have to go away for a while. And that makes them very sad. But he also wants them to know that he's not going to leave them alone. But he will, as he mentions here in these verses that I read, he will give them another comforter. The word "another" means another one just like myself. The word "comforter," of course, is a word that's referring to the Spirit of God, who you and I know from reading God's word has come inside of us, has come to dwell inside of us from the moment we trusted Jesus as our Savior and all the way, of course, until we get to heaven. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will always be there. So Jesus is speaking with the disciples and telling them that he has to leave for a while. They're discouraged by that, but he's promising that "I'm leaving, but I'm not really leaving, because I'm still going to be with you in the person of the Holy Spirit." Today, I'm going to begin a series of sermons that are going to last at least the month of February and the month of March. We may go longer, we'll see. But we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. There's so much in the Word of God that speaks about him, and many things that I think a lot of folks don't know and some don't understand that we need to go over together so that we have a proper understanding of this very special person that is ministering to us on a daily basis. He never, ever leaves us. When you and I go on a trip, he goes along. When you and I are in our house, he is with us. When we go to work, he's with us. We came to church today. Guess what? He's here. Not just because this is where he dwells, because really, he doesn't dwell in a building like this. He dwells within us. So when we gather together this morning, he came along. He's with us. Everywhere we go, whether it's a place that he would approve of or not, he goes along. Because it was promised to us that he would never, ever leave us. So there's so many wonderful things that we're going to go over in the next several weeks, and I hope that you'll try your best to make all the Sunday morning services and hear it live. We're going to begin this series of sermons with this title, And this particular title will take us 3 weeks at least to get through. But I'm calling this Names of the Holy Spirit. Names of the Holy Spirit. And you'll see as we go along, it's not just names. Sometimes it's terms that refer to the Holy Spirit, okay? But it would be too long to say names and terms of the Holy Spirit. So I just went with names of the Holy Spirit, okay? I hope you don't mind. But there are several different names and or terms that God uses in the Word of God that speak about Him. By the way, some are in the Old Testament, some are in the New Testament. And so today we're going to look at several scriptures, and as I tell you this, I want you to know that in my notes I have 15 different names or terms that refer to the Spirit of God. We're going to try our best to take five each Sunday for 3 Sundays so that we can get through this list. And there's several scriptures to look at, so please be ready to do that with me if you would. Let's go to the very first scripture without wasting any more time. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, writing the letter to the church at Corinth, is speaking to the church and reminding them about many spiritual truths. And he's trying to get them to understand that these spiritual truths are taught to us and revealed to us by the Spirit of God. And I want you to notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. It says, "But God hath revealed them," these spiritual truths, "God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." By the way, the first name or term that I want to remember or remind you of is just very simply this, the Spirit. The Spirit. Again, the verse says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Please notice a couple of things here in this verse. The Holy Spirit is the one who reveals these things to us. But notice He searches all things. Yea, the deep things of God. He searches all things. Very first thing I think of is He searches me. He knows what I need. He knows who I am. He knows where I am in my spiritual walk, in my growth, and so forth. He knows what I need to hear. He knows when I need comfort. He knows when I need encouragement. He knows what I don't yet understand. I mean, He searches all things. Think about that. He searches all things. And of course, it says here, yea, the deep things of God. If you want to know what the Bible says, who should you ask? I would suggest asking the author, who is the Holy Spirit of God. Remember, He searches all things. Do you think the Spirit of God understands the Word of God? I think He does. Obviously, you weren't sure because you didn't say anything. But He understands the Word of God, I promise. He knows all of it. And the things, listen to this, this is important. The things He wants you to know, He will show you. The things He wants you to know, He will show you. Well, why won't He show us everything? Because you can't handle it yet. Or you don't need to know yet. When the time is right, He will show you. But He searches all things. That's what the Bible says. I have another verse I want to show you with this first point. Look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. And I want you to know that there's many places in the Word of God where the Spirit of God is referred to as Spirit or the Spirit or the Spirit of God. And we'll look at some of those, of course, as we go along. But I've just chosen a few. And I want you to see here Revelation 2, verse 7. Says this, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." But notice this again, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Not only does He search all things, not only does He reveal spiritual things to us, But the Spirit of God is going to speak to us if we have an ear to hear. Now, I know you understand this, but I'm going to say it so that it's not misunderstood. It doesn't mean, do you have an ear on the side of your head? I'm looking around the room this morning, and all you who are here have an ear, at least one, on the side of your head. Most everybody I'm seeing here has two. Some of them, of course, they're covered up with hair, but I'm believing and trusting that you have two ears. It's not talking about that little appendage that's on the side of your head, you know, right or side or left side. It's talking about, do you have an ear that hears God speaking? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So, it brings me to this question. Do you have an ear that hears what God says? Yeah, I would hope so. By the way, I would hope so for you. I would hope so for me as well. I want to be able to hear what God says. If you're raising children, and I'll just call him Billy. Here's little Billy, and he's doing something that he shouldn't be doing, and mom or dad calls out to him and calls his name and tells him to stop, and he keeps doing it. Did he hear it? Most likely, I mean, unless he's got some kind of a hearing problem, most likely he heard it. But, of course, there's no change in his behavior, so how do you really know? And so, naturally, mom or dad gets a little bit louder and yells his name a little bit louder and reminds him again not to do what he's doing wrong. And he keeps on doing it still. I ask again, did he hear it? Most likely. But no change in his behavior, so how do you know? So you get a little bit louder and you really call his name. Maybe this time you use his middle name as well. Maybe now you have his attention because he turns and he looks at you. See, there's a difference in hearing it and having an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Do you have an ear that hears what God says? Are you willing to listen and obey what God says? Are you willing when he speaks to turn and look at him? Are you willing to turn and look at him and obey what he's telling you? The Spirit is the one who teaches us spiritual truths and shows us spiritual truths, who searches all things, that means us, but also the deep things of God. And he's the one who speaks to us if we have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Well, let's leave Revelation. Let's go back to the first book in the Bible, which is Genesis, and let's look at chapter 1 and verse 2. I don't know if you like doing things like this. I like doing things like this. Going through the Bible and looking at different things that God says about himself. And the Spirit of God is God himself. But notice here, not just the Spirit, but notice the Spirit of God. Here's another term or name. The Spirit of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Please notice that he was involved in the creation. When everything began, he was there. In fact, he is the beginner of it. He's the one that made it, okay? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they were all present when the world was begun, when God made everything. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Notice another scripture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let your fingers do the walking through the Bible pages. Some of you remember when there used to be a little ditty. Let your fingers do the walking through the yellow pages. Yellow pages? What are yellow pages? Hang on. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that, here it is, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Please notice that he was involved in the original creation of everything, Genesis 1, verse 2, but he's also involved in the new creation. When a man or a woman, boy or girl, is born again, guess who's involved? Oh, that would be the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. In fact, I'll say this to you. Unless the Spirit of God is involved in you being saved, you're not saved. Don't get shocked when I tell you this next statement, but you praying a prayer isn't what saves you. It's the Spirit of God who saves you. Are there people who have prayed a sinner's prayer and not gotten saved? Yes. 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 Because there's no magic in the prayer. It's the Spirit of God. Let me ask you this. Are there people who have not prayed a sinner's prayer and have gotten saved? Yes. Because it's the Spirit of God who saves. There's nothing magic about the prayer. In fact, there's nothing magic about the Spirit of God saving you either. It's a special work of God. And God does the work. That's why the Bible says several times, salvation is of the Lord. It's God doing the work. A person not praying a prayer, maybe they can't speak, or maybe their heart is so heavy and they sense the load of their sin and they can't even eke out the words. But in their heart, they're crying out to God and asking for his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness and his salvation. That person gets saved. They didn't verbalize it, but from their heart they did. And God heard that silent prayer and he saved them. The Spirit of God is involved in the original creation. The Spirit of God is involved in the new creation. Let me show you another place where the Spirit of God term is used. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. Boy, there's a lot. I mean, we're just touching the hem of the garment here, but 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. 1 John 4, verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. That's the term, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Not only was the Spirit of God involved in the original creation, not only was he involved in every new creation, salvation, but he's also involved in making Christ known to the world. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. The Spirit of God makes Christ known. I think every pastor knows this, or every evangelist or missionary, unless the Spirit of God is working through the sermon is a waste of time. The Spirit of God is the one who has to be working and making Christ known. By the way, he does that not only through preaching, he makes Christ known through reading your word, his word, praying. I don't know. I can't speak for Kevin. I can speak for myself. We were both at that prayer meeting yesterday. I felt the Spirit of God working in the room where we all were praying. I sensed that. By the way, I was glad I was there. The Spirit of God moving and making Christ known. So number one was the Spirit. Number two was the Spirit of God. Here's one. I don't know if you have caught this in your Bible reading or not, but go back to the book of Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 4. Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 4. Isaiah 4 verse 4. Here's an interesting one. Again, name or term used to speak of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. Notice Isaiah 4, verse 4, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Now there's two terms there. the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. In this particular point of my message, I want to concentrate on the spirit of burning. Do you remember in the New Testament, the Bible says that our God is a consuming fire? I think it's in the book of Hebrews. Our God is a consuming fire. The spirit of burning. Why would God refer to the Holy Spirit as the spirit of burning? Generally, burning is involved, just in a general term. I realize sometimes fires get out of control and burn in areas where we wish they wouldn't. I understand that. But fire used constructively is used to cleanse different areas and to consume chaff and consume weeds and consume sometimes dead forest area and things like that. In the proper use of it, the spirit of burning is also used in our life to remove just deadness, chaff, dead wood, areas that don't need to be there. Listen, areas that aren't producing any fruit. You remember John chapter 15, in the early verses, beginning at verse 1, it mentions the fact that God is the Father and He is the husbandman, and God works in His vineyard. I'm not quoting it, of course, you can tell that, but He takes away the branches that aren't bearing any fruit, and the branches that are bearing fruit, He purges them so they'll bring forth more fruit. It's the same idea of just getting rid of the dead wood in your life and getting rid of those parts of your life that don't bear any fruit and aren't producing anything and really are holding you back. The spirit of burning. Does the Holy Spirit of God ever point out to you and me areas that need to change? Of course. Does He ever point out to us areas that we need to get rid of? Of course. Does He ever point out areas in our life that needs to be improved and something added to our life? Of course. That's the spirit of burning. He's getting rid of chaff and dead wood and things that aren't bearing any fruit in our life and things that aren't glorifying to the Lord, things that are holding us back. The Spirit of God does that in our life. He's the spirit of burning. Now, would you go with me to another passage quickly? Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. This doesn't mention the word burning, but it does mention a principle here that speaks about God working in our life. Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 11. It's taking me a little longer because I went to Mark first. And as soon as I started reading it, I knew that wasn't the right place. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The spirit of burning. And fire and repentance is mentioned here in this verse. All of this is referring to the fact that the Spirit of God is in our life. Yes, to show us spiritual things. Yes, to search our hearts. Yes, to search the deep things of God. Yes, to be involved in the new creation. Yes, to show us different things about God Himself. But one of the big reasons why God is there to help point out things in your life that aren't quite right and things in my life that aren't quite right. I've been saved for a while. I know some of you have been saved for a while, but I'll be the first to admit here this morning that He's still got work to do in my life. I won't speak for you, but I will speak for me. He's still got work to do in my life. I have an idea He'll be working on me until I go to heaven. There's that much work to be done. The spirit of burning. Let me show you another one, if I may. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. Pastor, where are you in the list? I'm going to let you know in just a second. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. I mentioned to you that I have 15 different names or terms that are used to describe the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm going to try to do five each week. Number one was the Spirit. Number two was the Spirit of God. Number three was the Spirit of burning. That means we're on number four. We're moving along pretty good this morning. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So here's the term, the eternal Spirit. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? I don't know what you think when you see this verse, but the first thing that jumps out at me is the word eternal. The eternal Spirit. The eternal Spirit. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit of God is equal with the Father and the Son, and they're all eternal. They're all three forever. They're all three with no beginning and no ending. They're all eternal. And if he's promised to me that he's going to be in me and with me, he'll never leave me, and he's eternal, and that all begins at the new birth, doesn't it make sense that I'll have this relationship with him forever? It's just beginning, and it's going to get better and better, but it's eternal. He is the eternal Spirit, the same who helped Jesus shed his blood, be offered up on that cross, like it says here, without spot to God. And notice what else he does. He purges our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Well, that kind of ties into what we were just talking about, right? The spirit of burning. He purges our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. I don't know about you, but before I got saved, I was there. I was involved in dead works. I've told you before, Dad made sure we went to church every Sunday, sore throat or not, headache or not, it didn't really matter. You had to be really, really sick before Dad would let you stay home. And that was good training for me, you know. But you learn to just suck it up and go, you know. I heard a preacher say many, many years ago, don't call in, crawl in. I think my dad must have believed that. And I understand, there's times when you're sick and you really ought to stay home because nobody else wants what you have anyway. Sarah, remember all those years at Calvary Baptist Church in Plainview and Fritzine's crud? Nobody wanted that. There was a lady there named Fritzine and she got sick one time and it was pretty bad. You know, similar to COVID and RSV and some of these. But anyway, nobody wanted what she had and we nicknamed it Fritzine's crud. There are times when you're sick enough and you should stay home. But there are times, too, I think, when some people are just using it as an excuse and that they wanted to stay home. And anyway, get off that. The eternal Spirit, he's with us in our life. He helped Jesus go to the cross and shed his blood for you and for me to offer up himself without spot to God. But it also says here that he purges our conscience. And notice that, not our life, but our conscience. That's interesting, isn't it? He purges our conscience from dead works. I don't know what I can add to that except to say that most of the deeds that we do start out as thoughts. And sometimes things that we think are all right with God maybe are not all right with God. Maybe are just dead works. I don't know. But he purges our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So he is the eternal Spirit. He'll always be the Holy Spirit. He'll never leave us or forsake us. We'll have this relationship with him forever. And along the way, he's going to purge our conscience from dead works. This is kind of a unique relationship we have with him. Now, I have one more I want to show you this morning. And that's going to be found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. I think I heard the word Luke earlier today. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. And Luke's kind of like me. You know, I've got a book of the Bible that's got the same name as me, Mark. And Luke's got a book of the Bible that's the same name as him, Luke. There's no book of the Bible named Sarah. Have you noticed that? There's a character in the Bible named Sarah. And it's spelled one way in the Old Testament and another way in the New Testament. And I don't know why I'm telling you that, but it really has nothing to do with the sermon. There is no book of the Bible named Kevin. Have you noticed that? Luke chapter 11, verse 13. All kinds of information is given out here from this pulpit. Luke chapter 11, verse 13 says this: "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give," here's the term, "the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" First thing that pops out to me when I read this verse is the word holy. Yes, he is the Spirit. Yes, he is the Spirit of God. Yes, he is the Spirit of burning. I didn't deal with this yet, but it also said there the Spirit of judgment. He is, yes, according to Hebrews, the eternal Spirit. But Luke 11, 13, and many times in the Bible, we all know this. He is called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I've used this illustration before, and I want to use it again this morning. But if you were ever in the parsonage when the Mickelsons were here, and then you go into the parsonage now that the Weisses live there, does it look different? It does, doesn't it? Now, I wasn't in the house when the Mickelsons lived here, but I'm willing to guarantee you that it looks differently today than it did then. And the reason is because there's someone else living there before the Mickelsons, and of course now the Weisses. When we came in, it changed. Now, naturally, it changed even when they moved out. I understand that. And it was vacant for a while. But you understand what I'm saying. Because there's someone else living there, it looks different. That's my way of illustrating the fact that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, moved inside of you and me at the moment of salvation. And if he is the Holy Spirit, should our life look different now than it did before? Yes, it should. And do you think the word holy might have any reason why it looks different? Is it possible that the word holy is the why? The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Or the places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. Or the words I used to say, I don't say them anymore. You think that might have a little bit to do with it? Because the Holy Spirit came to move inside and live inside, and now he lives in this house called my body and your body, and he's changed things from the inside out? After all, he is the Holy Spirit, isn't he? How can the Holy Spirit move inside you or me and there not be a change? That's why, to me, when somebody says to me, you know what, I've been saved, and I've been saved, you know, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is, and their life still looks the same as it always did, I think to myself, I'm not sure you have biblical salvation, my friend. Because when the Holy Spirit moves in, he makes some changes. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If he's moved inside, it looks different than it used to. It's true, by the way, of an individual. I think it's true of a family. I think it's true of a church. God knows we need this. I think it's true of a nation. the Holy Spirit, when His presence is there, when His influence is there, when His holiness is there, everything it touches is going to change. It's going to change. So, this morning, just starting out this series on the Holy Spirit and just starting out this three-part beginning series, the names or terms of the Holy Spirit, we looked at the Spirit of God, the Spirit of burning, the Eternal Spirit, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I've still got 10 more that I want to give you, and please understand, and I will probably mention this several times, in a lot of these, there's more than one reference to that term, okay? But to just give you a brief idea of some of the different terms designated to the Spirit of God and some of the things that that probably means for you and me, that's why we're doing this part of the study. I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying this so far. Amen. If you're not enjoying it, just come and watch me enjoy it, okay? It's a good thing. It's a good thing to study the Holy Spirit of God. Pastor, can it really take 9 weeks? Come and see. Really, to be honest with you, just getting started on this the last several weeks, for me, I'm not sure we can get it all done in 9 weeks, but I'm going to try. And I'd like to get it all done before Easter Sunday, which naturally I want to talk about the resurrection on Easter Sunday. So anyway, thank you for listening. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for what you do in our life and for the involvement of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I know that all three were involved in the creation. All three are involved in the new birth. All three are involved in our lives every day. But I've designated several weeks now to just talk about the Holy Spirit, because I would like for our folks to understand Him a little bit better. And for that matter, myself to understand Him a little bit better. Oh God, please guide and direct us. Help me to say things that are honest and right and truthful, spiritual, scriptural, so that we all understand who this person is. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.